Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
One of my basic principles regarding the human-companion-animal bond is the definition of a well-bonded animal. A well-bonded animal is an animal who could live with anyone, but chooses to live with you. I came up with that definition years ago when I saw the first of a series of animals who had been adopted by relatives or friends after their original owner passed away. This created no problem if the animal was well behaved. Those animals I just heard about in passing. But among those who did have problems, whether or not those problems were resolved tended to depend on the adopter's relationship with the animal. The most successful among these were those who had a positive relationship with both the previous owner as well as the animal. Under those circumstances, they were willing to muster the time and energy and commitment to make any changes necessary. The next group were those who loved the deceased individual and consequently adopted the animal because of this, but they were either ambivalent about the animal or they didn't like the animal at all. If the animal had serious problems that were going to require time and energy to resolve, that created a problem for them. It wasn't because they liked the animal that they would do this. They would do it because they felt guilty about disappointing the deceased friend or relative. And the animal bore the brunt of that, often in the form of an inconsistent response that made the behavior worse instead of better. Then there were those who didn't like either the deceased or the animal. It's no surprise that they had little interest or desire to solve the problem. Normally this occurred when more than one person lived in the new home. One family member might have been very close to the deceased and or the animal, but other people might not share that view. They might see the cat as a pain in the neck. They might hate all cats, or maybe just this particular cat, because this cat was leaving great wads of hair everywhere. Or perhaps the dog with the problem was of a breed they didn't like, or they were afraid of for some reason. Those were tough too. The fourth group were those who love the deceased and see the animal as a memory of that individual. And that includes the animal's negative behaviors, which perhaps they might define as quirky or evidence of how much the animal loved the deceased. Under those circumstances, they may feel that correcting the behavioral problems, even though it would benefit the animal both physically and mentally, would be disloyal to that memory, and so they don't want to do it. I'm sure you can see from all of these different examples that the individual who winds up getting the short stick here is the animal. Given that result, it makes sense to think about this before the time comes. There are two approaches to this. One goes back to my original definition of a well-bonded animal, and that's to ensure that our own animal's behavior is such that placing the animal won't be a problem if anything happens to us. The second option, which in my opinion isn't quite as reliable, but it's better than doing nothing, is to make arrangements right now with someone who will assume the responsibility for the animal with a full knowledge and willingness to accept those problems. This is my number two option because this won't help the animal. But at least it ensures that in addition to dealing with whatever the underlying cause of the behavior is, the animal won't have to deal with the additional trauma of any negative emotions that that behavior causes in the new owners. None of us likes to think about death. But I think the more that we think about any last wishes we might have related to our animal, the easier it will be to make plans so that when the time comes, we won't have any regrets, the animal won't have any regrets, and the person who assumes responsibility for the animal won't have any regrets either.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.